just one thing too. Those that have been praying, last Sunday afternoon, I went to preach to an all Spanish church with an interpreter. That was new for me. It was something that was on my bucket list, and I've told several of you to be praying about it. At the end of service, 13 people came up front, whether to renew their relationship with the Lord, and three young teenagers came to the Lord, couldn't understand English, and one staying at the altar, just weeping before the Lord. It was amazing. It was such a blessing. So thank you for your prayers there, and God is doing some tremendous things. We get so caught up sometimes on the negative that we forget what God's doing. Amen. You turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. We're going to be looking at several verses there as we continue to look at the life of Joseph. And we began that series last week, and we're going to continue this week. And if you remember, last week we saw that dreamers are persecuted, and we took the verse where Joseph's brother said, "Here comes the dreamer." And here it was not a compliment. It was actually because he was sharing what God was showing him, because he was doing some things that irritated his brothers. We saw some life lessons that people will tear you down if you dare to better yourself. People will attempt to destroy and throw water on your fire and your enthusiasm if you want to come out and do something new and creative and outside of the box. And sometimes, even if you're doing things for God, somebody will come against you, or a group of somebody will come against you, because what's happening is, if they're mad at God, they're automatically going to be mad at you. You begin to show some things of God, or if God would dare to speak to you and change your life, they actually get upset about that. And we looked at that his brothers, they plotted. The scripture tells us that they plotted against him. They set out to destroy him. They set out to kill him. They got together and devised a plan to try to kill him and kill what was going on. And we pick it up this week in chapter 39. We see that Joseph is betrayed by his brothers. He's sold to Ishmaelites traveling to Egypt in a caravan, going to sell their goods in Egypt. That Joseph is bought by Potiphar, an Egyptian official who was captain of the guards and very powerful. And we see that Joseph adapts to the circumstances and the situation, and he's quickly put in charge, and he's quickly making a name for himself. And this morning the text kind of continues in the thread of deception that runs deep in people's lives. And if you really didn't learn any life lessons last week, you should see that bad things happen to good people. Say amen to that. Bad things happen to good people. There doesn't have to be sin in your life. Bad things just happen to good people because of sin in the world, because of people being people. And if you didn't learn this, life's not fair. Say amen to that. Life's not fair. Jesus doesn't tell us anywhere in Scripture that life is fair. He just says that he's going to judge, and those that come against us, that he'll take care of that, and he will be the judge of that, and that we're to live our lives and be followers of Christ. And Joseph didn't deserve this, but here he was, and what are you going to do with it? Anybody ever find themselves at that position? Here we are. I didn't cause this. I didn't do this, but here I am. Now, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to handle this with? And how am I going to handle this? And what is and how is this going to affect not only me, but my family and those that are around us? So Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 to 5 says this. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captains of the guard, bought him and bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered and lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of the household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Now, here's the thing that I want to set out. Joseph had an anointing. There was something about Joseph. Say amen. There's something about a Christian that is walking in the Spirit of God. There's something about a Christian that goes through these trials in life and comes out on the other side and allows God to do these different things. And during that period of time, they did not have the Holy Spirit that dwelled in their life. How much more should we have? On this side of the cross, as we see God doing these amazing things, the Spirit of God in the Old Testament all the time fell on a person to allow them to have the power to be able to do the things that they were needed to do. But now God says He dwells within us. The power of God is within us. The Spirit of the Lord will direct us and guide us. There was something about Joseph. And people could see it. Even those that hated him, they could see that something was different about him. And there should be something different within us. Now, Joseph is in the household of Potiphar. And you see that he's blessing not only his master, but he's blessing all that's done, all that is happening. So we pick it up in verse 6. And it says this, so Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though he spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed, and when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison on the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But Joseph was there in the prison. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. He made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Here's the thing. We pick this up and we see that deception still runs deep. We see that people are going to do what they want whenever they want. They have no regard for people's feelings, so they really have nothing to worry about for consequences. But we're called to be different. We're called as believers to be different. We're called by God to follow God's word and be an example of Christ living in us. So here's the first point here. People desire what they cannot have. Ever notice that? People desire what they can't have. You cannot stop an adult person from doing what they want to do, because they're going to do what they want to do, except God. God can stop you. You cannot make someone be who you want them to be, because they are in control of their lives and they run their lives, but God can do something different. And yet we're told that we will give an account to God for the things that we've done And I might add also for the things that we should have done. I found this saying, and I love this. There's a saying that says that a mistake repeated more than once is a decision. Did you get that? A mistake repeated more than once is a decision. Joseph cannot stop Potiphar's wife from desiring him and coming after her. In fact, we see in Scripture here, he's telling her no repeatedly, but she ambushes him. She set him up to fall into a trap that she created to catch him and cause him to do something that he was unwilling to do. Now, here's my thought. If you have to sneak to do it, if you have to lie to cover it up, if you have to delete it so no one can see it, then you probably shouldn't do it. Say amen to that. If you have to go through all of that to cover it up, to sneak and hide it and delete it, then you probably shouldn't do it. Potiphar's wife, who we don't even know her name, because it could be anyone in that predicament, anyone who acts like that, we don't even know her name, did all of these things to set Joseph up and to be in a position of compromise and tested his trust in God and tested his integrity with God. 1 John 2:15 to 17 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of their eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Genesis 3:6 says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good," you know where I'm going with this, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to her eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband, and he ate. And even in 2 Samuel chapter 11, we see David and Bathsheba, and David, who was a mighty king and a warrior, should have been off to war with his army. Here we catch in verse 1 to 5, "In the spring, at a time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem." Let me try that again. "Remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, 'She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite.' Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her." See, this isn't nothing new. Say amen to this. This is nothing new. It's happened from the beginning of time that people are going to do what they want to do with people that they want to do it with, and that they have a desire that outside of God, and still do these things that displease God. But here's the second point. Godly character doesn't care if anybody's watching. Did you catch that? Godly character doesn't care if anyone's watching. Verse 6, "But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, 'My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife.'" We have built a society that doesn't like to be told no. Say amen to that. We built a society that they don't like to hear the word no. We built a society that wants what they want when they want it. They want everything quick in all areas of their life. They want a microwave. Just stick it in, get done, 30 seconds later, get it. That's even to get and receive the things that even like their grandparents have. They don't want to wait till they're in their 60s and their 70s to get it. They want it now. They're not willing to wait. They're not willing to earn it. Joseph made a decision here long before he got into the temptation. Did you catch that? Joseph, before he got into this temptation, already made a decision that he was going to please God. Already made a decision that no matter what, his feelings may be, no matter what he was wanting to do, he was going to do the right thing. If you haven't determined that you're going to do the right thing before you get into a temptation, you will fall short. I should have heard somebody say amen. Either amen or oh me, because it's true. If you don't make a conscious decision that you're going to do the right thing when you fall into that unexpected temptation, you will fall short. You will get caught up in the moment and you will not do the right thing. Joseph's boundaries was not determined by whether he wanted to do it or not. It was set up by the principles of God. He knew she was off limits, and even if she was willing, he was not going to go on the wrong side of integrity. He was determined that even if he got caught, he didn't care, because what he would do is he'd get caught doing the right thing. Amen? He was going to do the right thing. His decision was to please God more than pleasing himself. He says this, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Even though he was ambushed, and even though they were trying to compromise him, he was not going to sin. He was not going to lose his integrity, and he was not going to displease God by his behavior. I want you to know, God honors integrity, even though we live in a society that don't think much of it. God honors integrity. God honors right behavior. God honors that we have godly character. He refused her. He refused to compromise. He would not let her take him somewhere that he didn't want to go. Say amen to that. The world wants to drag us. Sometimes you can't teach about God. You have to experience God. That's the problem. There's so much wisdom in the world. There's so much that you can read about, and they're trying to read about God. And the only way you're really going to know God is to experience God and be able to understand that God wants to work in our lives. And you have to be more concerned about what God thinks than what anybody else thinks. Pleasing God has to be our priority. Though Joseph's situation changed for no fault of himself, he was not going to let the relationship he had with God go in the wrong direction. Last point here is that integrity is a lifestyle. Say amen. You don't just have integrity one day. It's your lifestyle. It's your character. It's the way you are. It is who you are. Integrity is not what you say. It's what you do. That's why we got young people here. That's why when I was a kid, tell the funny jokes. You know, nobody knows that old, la 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 la. But you know what? That in my day, when my mom would say, "Don't do as I do as I say." And maybe if you're my age, you've heard it too. But that doesn't fly with younger people today. You know why? Because that's not good enough anymore. They show me. Show me your faith. Show me your character. Show me your integrity. Don't just tell me to do as I'm told. Live the example. They want to see faith in action. They want you to live what you preach. They want you to see God. And that you're not just, you know, bragging it up. Don't tell me, show me. When things are tough, show me your faith. Show me your God. Show me God's worth it by living his principles and then having a testimony when you come out of it. Don't tell me you love God. Show me you love God. Do you do what you want, or do you do what's right? Integrity is who you are when no one's looking. Let me say that again. Integrity is who you are when no one's is looking. Integrity is not caring if you get caught, because you're going to be doing the right thing. When Potiphar's wife could not tempt him, She went totally another way. She found a way to, he found a way to get away, and the burning lust that she had turned into lies and hatred. She tried in vain to make him a criminal, even though he was doing the godly thing. Even though he represented God, she was trying to represent him as a criminal. I want you to see something here. He was in charge of that whole house. He was in charge of that whole house. And don't you think that Potiphar's wife thought because he was in charge of the whole house that he had to listen to her? Do you think that's possible? That in her demented mind and her demented thinking, saying, you know what, he has to do anything I tell him to do. And I want to tell you this morning, you do not have to do things that disobey God's word. Our first allegiance, our first priority is to do what God requires of us. Then we're obligated to obey our and honor our bosses as it lines up to the things of God. You are only obligated as long as it falls under the things of God. People will do what they're going to do. Christians ought to do what's right, even if it goes against what you want to do. Say amen to that, because that's true. We have to first put it against what God is pleased with. Even if our feelings say no, even if we'd rather go another way, because God said it, that is the way that we're going to go. He thought it was more important to please God than have a few minutes of pleasure with this woman, pretending that everything was okay. He would rather stand before God with a clean heart than every day go up to Potiphar, have to look him in the eye, knowing that that deep, dark secret that he had was that he was fooling around with his wife. And he chose not to hide it, not to pretend that he was something that he's not. He decided that his character was going to be pure. Let me close with this illustration that happened to me here just not too long ago. I was in a restaurant that I frequent a lot, and I'm sitting there talking to someone, and they began to, and I know them to see them, and just began to talk about dating and talk about women and talk about a conversation that went way too far. And I was just sitting there, okay, Lord, how do I tell him that I'm really not interested in this conversation that he's having? And as I was thinking that, just ready to, someone on the other side of him looked over and he said, you know, that's the preacher, right? And he turned around, and I swear I could have hit him in the head with a nail in a board, and it wouldn't have hurt him as much as just hearing what he heard. And he come wheeling around, and he said, I'm sorry. He said, I thought you were one of the guys. And after, with this moment of shock, it's okay. And I said his name. It's okay. I accept your apology. No. If I'd have known that, I would have never said this, and I'd have never. And I said, look, I accept your apologies, but when you get home tonight, maybe you ought to ask the Lord to forgive you, because I'm only a man. I'm just a man, just like you. But if it offends you so much that what you said would bother me, maybe it bothered God. Maybe you need to say something between you and the Lord when you get, yeah. And I haven't seen him since. And I don't know if he sees me, if he'll be at the total other end of the restaurant. I don't know, but it's more important to please God than what people say. I'll accept an apology for inappropriate things being said. But if it's inappropriate that he's worried that I'm upset, how much more should he be upset of what God was thinking and how God was looking at that? And so maybe this morning, as we just close this out, maybe this morning you needed to hear a message that, hey, you're on track, just hang in there. Or maybe you're here this morning, and you know, maybe you failed the test, and maybe you need to to ask God for forgiveness. So wherever we're at this morning, God is available. Say amen to that. God's available. If you need an encouraging word and for God to say, hang in there, I got you, well then grab on. This is your message. This is your encouragement. If you're here and you're sorry because you failed the test and you gave in to something that is not pleasing to the Lord, well, let me know. Let me tell you that God can rebuild character. It's tough. It's tough because where there is consequence for our actions, but God can rebuild character. God can restore you where you need to be. So whether you need to ask Him to give you strength or you need to ask Him forgiveness, He's here for us this morning. Amen. Father, we just thank You for Your goodness. And as we just continue to look at these life lessons that we see with Joseph, Lord God, like I said last week, he's another Job. The things that he goes through, just one after another, and for no fault of his own, he goes through these things. And Father God, I'm sensing this morning there is others that they tried to just walk the way that You would want them to walk, but they just seem to be hitting these obstacles and these things that cause them to stumble. Lord God, I'm asking that You just would wrap Your arms around them this morning, that You would encourage those that need to be encouraged, that You would, upon asking for forgiveness, You would forgive those that are asking for forgiveness, that, Lord God, we could be upright, that we could look You in the face, Lord, and know that we're living the lives that is pleasing to You rather than hiding behind deception, hiding and having to cover up and sneak and delete and the rest of the things that we do so that nobody else can see what's going on. Integrity is who we are when no one's looking. Lord God, we need Your help. We need You to be involved in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.